There was a minister whose wife was very frugal, and she was a wonder at conserving food and rarely threw any food away. At one meal, she served her husband nothing but leftovers, and the minister viewed these leftovers with great disdain. He began to pick at his food, causing his wife to say, Dear, you forgot to say the blessing. He replied, Listen, sweetheart, if you can show me one item of this food that has not been blessed already at least two times, then I'll say another blessing. So technically, you don't have to bless leftovers, right? They've already been blessed. Well, that's what we have in today's gospel. We have lots of leftovers because the Lord worked such a great miracle. It says there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. See, that was one of the signs of the Messiah. In Jeremiah, he had predicted when the Messiah comes, there would be an abundance of miracles and healings and cures, but there would also be abundance of food and wine. Look what happened at the wedding feast of Cana, where the Lord multiplied the wine at the wedding feast. And today, he multiplies the loaves and the fish, and he feeds 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Take a look at the beginning of this gospel. It's John chapter 6, the first 15 verses. John chapter 6 will be the Lord's longest teaching in the entire Bible, all about the bread of life and the Eucharist. But he prepares the apostles for the teaching about the Eucharist and the bread of life by working a miracle with bread. In other words, being able to feed the 5,000. So John chapter 6 is such an important chapter in the Bible. I've mentioned before that my license plate says John chapter 6. Okay, J-N-C-H 6. At least once a year somebody says, Father, what does Join Channel 6 mean? So I have to explain it to them. No, it's John chapter 6. So we take a look here, and the Lord is crossing the Sea of Galilee, goes over to the eastern shore. And in fact, the archaeologists know where this miracle took place. It's the only area on the east bank of this Sea of Galilee where they could have sat over 5,000 people. And the Lord was up on the side of a mountain overlooking this vast crowd. And he looks at them with pity. They had followed him for 2 or 3 days. They were starving. They were thirsty. They were so hungry. And the Lord turns to Philip. A very interesting detail. Why does he turn to Philip? Well, Philip was the local boy. This is his hometown. He would know where all their version of the Taco Bells were and where the falafel stands were and things. So he says, Philip, where's the best place to tell all these people to go get something to eat? And it says here that Jesus said this to test him, but he knew what he was going to do. Sometimes I think the Lord does that with our faith. He knows what he's going to do, but he allows us to affirm our faith. And sometimes we get tested by the Lord, and he wants us to be filled with confidence and trust and faith in him. He knows what he's going to do, but he wants to see how we're going to respond. Will we respond in trust and confidence and faith? So he looks to see what Philip responds. And Philip is sort of pessimistic. He's sort of negative, and he says, Lord, even if we had bags of gold, 200 days' wages, we could buy enough food for everybody to just have a mouthful. That's all they could eat, is just a mouthful. Well, Andrew shows up. Andrew is the optimist. He's more positive. Andrew always works the crowd, as you know. Andrew is the one who's always introducing people to Jesus. His brother Simon, he introduces the Greeks to Jesus. Now he brings this young boy to Jesus. And Andrew says, I found a young boy who's willing to give his lunch, his food, his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. This indicates he was poor because barley loaves were eaten by the poor. And in fact, in the first reading, you have Elisha takes the 20 barley loaves and he feeds 100 people with the 20 barley loaves. But Jesus is better than that, right? He feeds 5,000 with only 5. So God worked a miracle in the Old Testament. Now Jesus, truly the Son of God, works a greater miracle. So this young boy is willing to give his 5 loaves and 2 probably dried fish that they would carry, and he offers them to the Lord. There's something very important here, something very spiritual, that somebody could say, well, why should I give, let's say, why should I donate my time to the church or give some money to the church, even though it's so little? Well, God can take what's little and he can multiply it. So you might feel that maybe your gifts and talents aren't that great. Well, give them anyway. Give your time, give your talent, give your treasure, even if you don't think that they're that much. This probably young boy said, well, 5 loaves and 2 fish is not that much, but Lord, if you want it, you can have it. So that should be our attitude spiritually. We give our time, we give our talent, we give our treasure. You might not think it's that much, but with the Lord, he can take that and he can work miracles, but we have to be willing to give even a little that we have. And so the Lord takes the food. He tells the people to recline. That would indicate that they're about to eat. It says there was a great deal of grass in that area, which tells us it's April or May. It's springtime, around the Feast of the Passover. Over 5,000 are now reclining in different groups. It says Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks. The word in Greek is eucharista. You get the word Eucharist, the thanksgiving, the bread of thanks. Now, this is not the Eucharist here. Jesus, this is a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. But what Jesus is doing here, he's working a miracle with ordinary bread to eventually show that he can work a miracle with the heavenly bread at the Last Supper when he changes bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, divinity. But here he works a great miracle. He then gives thanks and distributes this to the crowd. It says they all ate until they were filled. Everyone had enough to eat. In fact, everybody had more than enough because there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. What does Jesus say? Gather the fragments so that nothing will be wasted. That's a good lesson for us. When Paul VI spoke at the World Food Conference in 1974, he used this passage to remind us not to waste food, not to waste anything. Paul VI said we live in such a consumeristic society with lots of materialism and consumerism. He said, let's be always mindful of the needs of the poor and of the hungry and not to waste things. So the Lord does the same thing. They gather up the baskets, 12 full baskets worth of leftovers. I'm sure these would be eventually given to the poor. And then the crowd realizes that a great miracle has taken place, and they want to make Jesus their king. So he'd be a very handy king to have around, right? Anytime we're hungry, just whip up something for us, Jesus. And so this is the kind of Messiah they wanted. They could always be fed with this kind of a king, and they wanted to make him a king. But it says Jesus went off secretly and prayed up in the mountain by himself. See, the Lord did not want to be this kind of an earthly Messiah to overthrow the Romans and to usher in a new political realm. He was about to redeem us spiritually by dying on the cross, opening the gates of heaven, and giving us food that will be unperishable. See, those who ate this food will just get hungry again. But Jesus will give us heavenly food, the Eucharist, the bread of life, that will nourish our souls into the kingdom of God, into eternity. And so I think the last thing we should take from today's gospel is the fact that this miracle foreshadows the Eucharist. And just as Jesus could feed 5,000 with just a few loaves, so every Sunday at every Catholic Mass throughout the world, Jesus feeds 1.2 billion Catholics with his same body, blood, soul, and divinity. And just as Jesus was concerned about the fragments of the ordinary bread, how much more so should we be concerned about the particles of the consecrated host, which has now become the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ. And the church teaches that when we receive communion, we have to be very careful not to lose any particles of the host because it is Jesus. A good analogy, if you took a mirror and you smashed the mirror into 1,000 pieces, if you picked up each little piece, you could still see your reflection in each little piece of the mirror. So in the Eucharist, Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, divinity, under the host and under every particle of that host. So the church reminds us that when we receive communion, we have to be very careful not to lose any of the particles of the consecrated host. Look how carefully the priests try to purify the chalice and the sacred vessels at the end of Mass. So when you go to Holy Communion, there are two ways to receive communion. Father Scalia wrote an excellent article in this past week's Catholic Herald where he reminds us that you can receive communion on the tongue, which is a very beautiful, very traditional way to receive, because then you're being fed, which is a very spiritually enriching idea, to be fed the body of Christ. And if you do it that way, you don't have to worry about particles or fragments of the host breaking off. The other way to receive, the church allows communion in the hand. And it reminds us how to do it carefully. We place one hand under the other, and then we make a throne. We lift our hands up to make a throne where Jesus resides. And then we take the Lord and carefully place him in our mouth to make sure then that there are no particles of the host left over. So if you do receive in that way, always be very careful about the particles of the host. Again, if Jesus is concerned with ordinary bread, how much more so should we be concerned with the bread of life?